Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we finished verses 5 and 6. Let's listen now as we continue with a more in-depth study of verse 5.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom. Welcome you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, I hope that you have your Bibles ready. We're in Titus chapter 3, and we're going to do a quick review here in just a few moments and then get on into the chapter as we're in it right now. I just wanted to point out a few things, though, that we love the ministry of Lamp and Light broadcast because it has reached around the world. Now, we've heard from various countries. We've heard from various states. We've heard of people getting saved. And so God has used this ministry. Lamp and Light was designed to teach the Word of God as it is to men as they are, speaking the truth in love. I found as a young man and a young preacher that as I traveled and talked to people who were supposed to be Baptist, independent, fundamental, that when it come to doctrine and some various issues, they were very weak. And I found that it was because there was a lack of an understanding of the Word of God. And so because Christians don't have that daily time in God's Word as they ought to, they don't meditate in it, they don't think on it, what I have discovered is that many of them can so easily be misled by somebody that comes in and turns the Scripture into lasciviousness, turning grace, God's grace into lasciviousness by taking Scriptures and saying, well, this means this, and that shouldn't have been there, this is the wrong word, all these things they do. And so I felt a great call of God, I would say, to do this. I have, as a pastor, the time in which I counsel people that come seek me. Sometimes it's a young couple. Sometimes it's other preachers and missionaries and various things on which I have counseled over the years. One of the things that I do with young people, and really, I've done this with older adults as well, and middle-aged and even beyond, is that God has you here for a reason. I remember getting hit head-on at 80 mile an hour when I was a senior in high school. As a matter of fact, I think I was a junior at the time. I might have been a senior, but I just remember getting hit head-on at 80 miles an hour by a driver who was drunk going 80. Crossed the line and hit me head on. Now, believe it or not, I was only doing about 20 or 30 miles an hour. He said, a teenager only doing 20 or 30 miles an hour, but to be quite honest with you, I just pulled out of a gas station. And pulling out of that gas station, I had just gone about two blocks when that car come across the line. I just filled my tank. It knocked a tank off of that car, but you know, even with a full tank, it did not explode or anything of that nature. Of course, it did total my car, but I wasn't in the hospital. They took me to the hospital. They sent me home. And so that was the experience I had. And I remember reading the next day in the newspaper, because that was on Christmas Eve of 1966. And the next day in the newspaper, it read, Christmas Eve Miracle. Now, I would end up spending several days at home, probably a good week or two before I could go anywhere, because definitely when you get hit head on at 80 mile an hour, you are very, very, very sore. I think I ended up with about 20 stitches in my around my eyes, and then also some chipped bones in my elbow. Nothing was broken as far as being broken bones, but I did have some chipped bones, and so that was the extent of it. But then I had some very very sore muscles and a sore body, you know. And so that took some time. Matter of fact, when we went back to school reopened in January, you know, of course, for the next semester. And, of course, some of the kids teased me about being the Christmas Eve miracle. And I was in a PE class, and I told the coach, doctor said, I'm not supposed to exercise, do these things right now. And he said, okay, where's your excuse? I said, I don't have one. I said, that's just what he told me. I said, he didn't write one. And he said, well, sit down. He says, you look fine to me, but I'll let you sit out. Well, next day, come in. He says, you got your excuse with you? I said, no. He says, then you're working out. He says, you're going to play out there and get on the basketball court and play. So I got out there, ran up down the floor about twice, and then he was blowing the whistle. He came flying out there. He says, Bloom, come over here. You're sitting down. And then they had the rest of the games during the PE period there. He says, you turned white as a sheet out there. I mean, I thought you were going to pass out. I didn't feel like I was going to pass out, but it scared him to death. And he says, you tell me when you can play again. So as a matter of fact, I enjoyed just that little bit of a minute or two of playing I got to do that. I went back about two days later, and said, hey, coach, I'm fully ready. I can go back now. So I went back to play, but I've used that illustration, however, about getting hit on it. 80 mile an hour as a point of counseling couples and individuals. That is, God kept me here for a purpose. And it wasn't mine to choose what I wanted to do. It was what God wanted me to do. Now, some people I've had in the past say, I would like to teach an adult class. Now, don't put me at the children. No, I need to teach adults. I've got so much to give. Well, I always get leery of that kind. So I'm glad they want to serve, but they need to show me before I can do anything on that. But it's something they chose and wanted to do instead of what God's impressed on their heart. So I tell them, seek the purpose God has for your life. Then commit yourself to it just like you'd commit yourself to a marriage or life. And so I've counseled them that. As a matter of fact, young couples in Christian college, I've told, look, both of you need to search with your whole heart what God's purpose is for you, what he wants you doing, not what you want to do, what he wants you doing. When you find that purpose, if he feels God's will for you two to get married, then you need to start discussing how your purposes that God has for you will work together. And so those are just some of the things that I've pointed out in times past, but I'm saying that to say all of this about the study here in the book of Titus and really in the whole Bible. God's word is left here for you and me. It is profitable for instruction. The Bible tells us that, okay, profitable for instruction in righteousness, okay. And so the Bible is profitable for doctrine. And for correction, we need that. For instruction in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So, my friend, that's part of my purpose in teaching the book of Titus and all of our ministry over the years. That has been it. God impressed that on my heart many years ago. I could go through a long other things that just led up to this. But I just wanted you to know that what I do here is what God has impressed on my heart. I'm only a pastor of you in that I am trying to take you into the green pastures, the rich green pastures of God's word, that you may feed there. But no, in your local church, your pastor is your pastor, not me, okay? So your pastor is your pastor. Now, I encourage you to get your pastor and other members of your church to listen to the Lamp and Light broadcast. We don't really have this advertising thing that we do that a lot of them do. We just have to depend on word of mouth and people that hear our broadcast to tell others in the area where they live. And I hope that you will do that. Well, having said all that, now we want to get back right here into our study. So as we get back to the study, last time we hear in chapter 3, I spend several days going over verses 2 through 4 with God's instruction for living life as a Christian. And we had told you that actually the book of Titus is like any other book of the Bible, but this particular book has a theme, behavior as becometh holiness. And I believe that these things now that we're looking at particularly here are things that help us to understand the behavior that becometh holiness. Now, we looked at verses 2 through 4, as I said, for God's instruction. For example, in verse 2, a Christian is instructed to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Well, that goes against discriminating, doesn't it? Don't discriminate against one person because you like this other person so much better, or you just don't like the guy, or you don't like the lady, you know, whatever the need situation is. But he says these are things here to speak evil of no person, okay, no man. All right. Now, verse there is very clear. It's very clear. Now, as a Christian, we're not to do those things that verse 2 just said. Now, when you're told to remember what we were, as verse 4 will point out, in verse 4, we're told to remember what we were. So it's easy to condemn others and hold, you might say, their past against them. Now, in verse 3, therefore, he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. I mean, yeah, yes, there's different kinds of them, and none of them good. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, that shouldn't be the marks of a Christian. That should not be the marks of a Christian at all. And so to kind of point that out and show that what he's talking about there, because he's letting us know that's what some of us were. That's the way we were. And so as a Christian, we've got to be on guard against those things being a part of our life. We looked at Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. As a saved person, Satan will attack. And these very things that are just mentioned here are things, but through his attack, he wants to really get us doing, whether it's to speak evil of others, whether it's to hate, whether it's the deception, the lust, or whatever else has been mentioned here in verses 2 and 3.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my